Today's episode is brought to you by JS Health Vitamins. This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions, so sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I can remember when we've just signed the contracts and I've said, look, I'm really worried because I've just watched all this, the last season. It's not going to be like last year, is it? There's not going to be all that. And like executive producer's like, no, we found someone. He's like, you're going to love him. I'm just like, okay, I believe her. You don't know what you're going to do in a particular situation. I can remember sitting there like 3 or 4 weeks in and thinking, I can't do this. And like, you know, and that you think, why did they cheat in the last seasons? Yeah, I know why they cheated, because they're bored. I went through phases where I wanted to get out of the experiment and there's no one you can talk to. You can't talk to the psych because then she's telling the producers and you can't talk to anyone.
On today's Under the Influence episode, we're joined by the amazing Michelle from Married at First Sight. Thank you so much, Michelle, for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Firstly, I'd love to find out what you've been doing since maths and I suppose how you're coping during isolation.
Well, it's kind of a continuation of maths isolation, isn't it? Because it's almost like we did the 3.5 months of maths and then now we're doing COVID isolation. I had a few weeks where I could do stuff and I had a Christmas holiday, which was awesome, but I'm working from home. So I was firstly educated as a naturopath, so that's my first profession. Yeah. And then I went back to uni and started education, and I did secondary education, so science, maths, English, and then I thought I'd go back and study literacy and numeracy, and then I went back and did a postgrad in English as a second language. So yeah, now because I have been medically retired from Queensland Education, I'm working with the police.
Well, and can you tell us a little bit about why you were medically retired? Because you mentioned before that you get asked so many questions about your voice, and so this might answer some people's questions.
Yeah, so about 8 or 9 years ago, I was teaching class and my students kept laughing at me. They were saying, oh, you sound like Kermit the Frog, miss. And I'm just like, no, I don't. I sound fine. Anyway, I got checked and I basically had tumours growing on my vocal cords.
Oh, my gosh.
And basically, they just cut them out and I had to rest my voice where you're not allowed to talk at all, which is so difficult. Mm. and then a year later, they came back. So then I was medically retired, so I had to find another career where I don't use my voice so much. And I ended up in the Queensland Police Service and now I'm in the academy in doing training. So it's really good.
Do they recognise you from maths?
They do, but because of like our chain of command, they basically would not approach me and say something. But some of them kind of look at me and like want to ask, and then some do ask. But yeah, it's okay. Like I don't mind if they ask. I'd rather them ask.
Were you scouted for the show?
No, I was set to go on the show about 3 years ago.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think it was about season 4 or I don't know, or 5, and I started dating someone from school, and about 4 weeks into dating him, I pulled out of the whole maths process, and then this year I just got an email to say, do you want to apply? And I said, okay, I will, and yeah, I did.
Wow.
So, and it kind of worked out like that. So I still had to go back and do my audition tape and like all the other processes, but yeah, I already knew basically the producers and like I'd met them before.
Oh,
I didn't know them, like I just met them.
I wonder who you were going to be set up with in season 4.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who
was
on
it. I think it was, or 5, it was, I think it would have been John from Melbourne.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
he seems nice.
Yeah, so another Melbourne person. Oh. Yeah, so that's what I think who it would have been, but I'm not sure.
Now, so obviously you watched Maths before going on it, because we spoke to Drew last week and he'd never seen an episode but signed up, which blew our minds.
No, so, well, I think I'd watched that, like, the season of when I had applied then, like a few years ago, and then I kind of didn't really watch it. But then we binged watched the last season with my girlfriend, just to see kind of what we were getting into. So, because I don't really watch television. So, and that was something that, like, Steve and I wouldn't, like, he found it really difficult because he watches television a lot and I never have the TV on at all. So, like, we actually never turn the TV on unless we're watching something.
Did you feel apprehensive watching last season's before you were about to go on it? Because obviously it was pretty explosive with Sorrel throwing wine and that sort of thing. Were you a bit concerned? Because it seems to have gone up a level since, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah. So, like, 3 or 4 years ago, it seemed like quite legit. So, you know, and then, well, was it Martha that threw the wine or?
Sorrel was the recipient, wasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she got the wine. Yeah. But, I think it was eye opening and it was, like, very frustrating as well. But I thought, because the women were so disjointed and they weren't, like, together and they were so anti each other and And that's something that bothered me, and I didn't want that to, be the same in our season. But
do you think it was different in your season?
Probably not. Yeah, like, I think that a lot of us had good intentions and we tried, and I think that I could honestly say that I would talk to everyone on the series and I would be kind or nice to them. But I think that some personalities just couldn't get on and they were never going to get on. Doesn't matter how much I tried or anyone tried to get them to get along, they weren't going to, yeah.
Do you think that was pushed by producers, or do you think it was just that some people just didn't click?
Well, it's strange because the thing is, like Stacey and Hayley, just say, that was a weird situation because I think that they both thought they didn't like that the other didn't like each other from the first day. But when you watch it on, when we rewatched it, they're actually quite friendly for the first couple of dinner parties.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why they got that impression. Maybe it was something that they were told that this person doesn't like you. I don't know, because everyone sent, the girls seemed to get on really well, especially on the hens night and first dinner party. I couldn't say that anyone was annoying at all.
Maybe that's why the producers had to step in and sort of stir the pot a little bit.
And, before we got the intruders, like, seriously, we could have fallen asleep at a dinner party because we were all, like, we were basically, like, all friends. Like, we'd, like, even if we had an argument, like, on TV or whatever, we'd come out and just, like, okay, yeah, all right, then we're just, like, making food or sharing food or whatever. Like, not that we're allowed to talk, but, like, you know, somebody might make something and then give everyone banana bread. That was Hayley's thing. So,
Because I think that's what Elizabeth, when she came in as an intruder, kind of said during the dinner party. She's like, wow, this is boring. I need to stir things up. So it kind of puts into perspective that maybe that obviously was the producer's intentions. They're like, these people are getting on too well.
Yeah, we were, but we were because, like, we're kind of like, and you put Stacey and me next to each other and we just start talking about our kids and no one wants to hear about our kids. So that's quite a boring conversation, apparently, for TV. But I'm like, it's really exciting. And you see that one dinner party where I'm talking about, I had bunion surgery, and then somebody saying, it's like, that was our dinner parties. And then, unless somebody stirred something up, then, we're getting so comfortable because you end up feeling almost like a family because we're there in that place on the same level. We've got a babysitter that looks after us, a producer, and we can always go there and hang out. So if you're really sick of your partner, you can just hang out in the babysitter's room. You're not allowed to talk production or anything like that, but you can just sit there and just have a general conversation.
It's funny you say that because I was actually listening to an interview. I don't know if you watched the first season of Big Brother 20 years ago when Sarah Marie was on, but she was getting interviewed on a podcast and she spoke about how she used to get so sick of all the housemates that she'd actually just ring up the psychologist Carmel to have a chat. It kind of sounds like you guys were like, you know, just chatting with the producers to talk to someone new.
Yeah, I think that, well, because you're stuck in the room with the same person and you can't get along, even if it was like your one true love, and you're like, you know, or even your brother or sister or your mum, you'd fight with them anyway, yeah, and you get annoyed with people. So when you're with them all the time, then you just need a break sometimes. And sometimes you both go in and just sit there and speak to the like babysitter, the producer that's there. And, you know, and you might see, like, often we'd go there and we'd see Stacey and Michael sitting in there having a chat. And like Drew came in once and brought everyone donuts and we're just like, flip it out. Oh, awesome.
It kind of sounds like what isolation is like for a lot of couples, but they don't have the outlet of talking to babysitters or producers. It's quite funny.
Yeah. And this is just, that's what I say about COVID. It just feels like maths, but on a larger scale. But this time I've got like a little bit more freedom. I can go into my garden. I can get onto the internet. I can watch something if I wanted to, you know, use my phone.
So were you guys allowed to use the internet and your phones during filming, or was that off limits?
Not while we're filming. So no, we couldn't use our phones. Like they actually take them off you.
Oh.
So you can't even leave it in your room. They take them off you. So you have a production phone and you have your phone and they collect it before you film.
Oh, because they needed to take Jonathan's off him a little bit more, it seemed, because Connie kept getting annoyed that he was on Instagram all the time.
I think that was like, well, he wasn't, I don't know, that might have been one little argument about something, but that could have been on their downtime. But I don't know, everyone was like doing something on their phone, like when they could. Like, you know, Steve would have said, oh, wow, you're always talking to your family, and any opportunity I'd FaceTime anyone.
Do you think the producers might have been reading through your messages? Because in the last dinner party, it obviously came out all the scandalous affair between Mikey and apparently Stacey. Do you think that they might have known about that from reading his messages?
Well, we're not allowed to send the production phone doesn't have a SIM card, so we only use it for filming and taking photos. But the thing is, what you don't really realize, your producer, so you adopt a producer, or producer adopts you, and you become best friends with this person. Like, and I'm not sure if it's like Unreal, you know, the series on Stan, and you believe that they're your best friend and they're kind and they do whatever you want and, you know, this is wrong and they'll fix it and whatever. So they're your go-to all the time. So you end up trusting them so much that you, like, reveal a lot of information that you probably just slip up. And also, like, somebody might have said something, like, with the Stacey and Mikey thing. Well, Alex and Stacey were quite close on the show. And then when the Alex kind of scandal came up, I think Alex felt betrayed by Stacey a little bit and maybe she like changed alliances, or I don't know, and said something about the messages because Stacey might have confided. I don't know. It's speculation. But because alliances change all the time, and if you've got dirt on someone, maybe you'd use it.
Definitely. Just
depends on yourself.
Yeah, it depends on your morals, I suppose. Just going back to, I suppose, your motivation for going on maths, you were very open about some of your previous relationships, and you did say that 7 out of your 8 relationships you were cheated on, which is awful. I mean, you must have met some real assholes along the way. were you worried that they were going to match you up with someone that might cheat on you?
I'd never thought that at all. Because I didn't think that would be the focus of my character, because there were so many other things that I talked about. But, I haven't dated a lot. I've had a couple long-term relationships I've actually had one since my divorce, and the others have been only like 7 months or 3 months or something. So I haven't really dated a lot. And, Yeah, and I never let anyone move in. So, yeah, it was probably I didn't expect it because I didn't know that that was going to be the thing that they focus on.
Yeah. Oh, that's understandable.
And, like, but cheating is, like, one of my big no-nos. I think, you know, once you've cheated, you're kind of always, yeah, like that. Yeah, I said that. So
once a cheater, always a cheater, as Rachel Green from Friends would say.
Well, yeah, I just think that, and I just didn't imagine that they would. So even like I can remember when we've just signed the contracts and I've said, look, I'm really worried because I've just watched all this, the last season. There isn't going to be, it's not going to be like last year, is it? There's not going to be all that. And like the executive producer's like, no, we found someone. He's like, you're going to love him. I'm just like, okay, I believe her, you know. So, and the thing is, like, you tell me something, I believe you, yes.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't tell you a lie, so I don't think people lie to me.
Yeah, well, it's good to take people on face value. It's disappointing when people use that to their advantage, I suppose. That being said, there was a lot of talk online that Steve was, you know, the term gaslighting you, because he'd make up sort of excuses like, oh, you know, you're not tall enough and all that kind of thing, but then lead you on. Did you feel that? Did you think he was gaslighting you?
At the time, I did really feel like that. Yes, I really felt like that because there were two different situations on camera, off camera. And then when that whole thing happened at the beach, it didn't really work out like that, but it was, and then like the next couple of days, it just kind of, wow. And that was a producer instigated thing. So I think the day at the beach, because we were quite close, Steve and I, like we were quite friendly. We had lots of arguments, like we'd argue, but we'd argue over him closing the door. And then I'd argue with him because he opened the door. Like, you know, whichever. Why did you shut it? Why did you open it? Like, you know, it'd be just stupid. And like if you saw our home videos, which one day I hope I release, they're actually quite funny because they're really just, stupid. But we weren't quite comfortable. And that day, I think they picked that particular day because, you know, I had bought him breakfast as a surprise and he was so overwhelmed with happiness. And then the producer said, I think this is the day that you need to tell her that you're not attracted to her. So, and he was like the whole time, he's trying to say stuff to me, but they don't let you talk. So he's trying to give me warning signs. But we're mic'd up. We can't really talk. And he's just saying, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't say this. Don't, you know, and he's like trying to give me signs. And we sit down and then and he goes, yeah, I'm not feeling attraction. I was like, okay. Anyway, and then they're just like, oh, how do you feel about that? I'm just like, it's all right. It's okay. What do we do? He's not attracted. And then we left like that. We actually left laughing and left the beach and we didn't have a fight. I wasn't upset. We got back to the unit and no one's allowed to come over. But that night we got people come over for a cup of tea and juices come in and have a chat, and then all of a sudden the conversation comes up to, oh yeah, like Steve's been telling us this all the time.
Oh, that's horrible.
And that's why it comes out, like, you know, why has he been telling everyone for the last 6 weeks and he hasn't told me? But in reality, like when I watched the series, he'd never said it to the screen, but I'd been told that he had been saying it the whole time. And so then, you know, like we were fine, like up until everyone left that night, and like we weren't allowed to have visitors, but we did, and they've said that and they've made it really clear. So was that planned? I don't know.
It must, yeah, because you would have been thinking it was like the Elizabeth Sam situation where Sam was just bagging her out the whole time, and then it came as a shock. Because I remember hearing your reaction, and I thought to myself, I wonder if she's being told differently. That, because it was clear that Steve wasn't saying that at all. Yeah, and it would be like an embarrassing sort of, you know, you feel a bit betrayed, whereas it's not like you're upset about the comment, it's about the betrayal itself, but which didn't actually happen.
And that's what I was saying. I was just like, and everyone's like, what's the betrayal? What's the betrayal? I'm just like, okay. Do you know, like, because when we left that day, I was just like, yeah. And like my producer's like, so you're okay with that? I said, yeah, why? What's wrong with that? Like, of course we can't just like each other. Like, you know, it's fine. And like, I'm not attracted to him either. So, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, it really didn't matter. So, yeah, it's manipulated.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was that?
And it got a reaction. So, yeah, good TV.
They did their job. The producers. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I think Steve got ripped for that because, like, you know, saying that to me. But, like, there was such a process to get to that. Actually, that was good editing.
It was. Because I really enjoyed... Because you talked about it, that you would fight just petty things that everyone fights about with Steve. And I really enjoyed the friendship that formed. Are you guys still friends now, or is it kind of since filming stopped, it's sort of hard to catch up?
So like during, like once we were like friends, like after the reunion, we started talking and it was fine. And, but then once that actual episode aired, that kind of like really hit me and I just like I just couldn't be friend, I couldn't talk to him, and I kind of felt really betrayed, and I kind of blamed Steve about it as well. And so we've recently started just messaging, and I think that we will be like friends. There'll be some sort of friendship, but not super close or anything like that, but just the same as anyone else on the show. But it's a shame to not be friends. Definitely, like, you know, because out of everyone, we're probably the best friends ever. Like, we did have a lot of fun and we just did laugh a lot.
Yeah. So you could tell that as well.
But we didn't know each other.
You mentioned previously about the beach scene and how that was a little bit manipulated. Were there any other huge moments that happened on MAFS that didn't make it on air that you can tell us about?
I think that everyone knows about the dinner party. The girls' night, that was horrific. So that's been talked about. That's probably the most disturbing part, and I can understand why they didn't play it, but it doesn't give Hayley a really good read.
Right. So for those who haven't heard, what can you say happened during that girls' night?
That was the worst part of I'd never seen the girls be mean to each other, really. So even when Hayley and Stacey were arguing about Michael, there was never really anything quite like vindictive or really like mean when they were talking. It was that girls' night, and I just think that they just wanted to add the little bit extra. And I think Lizzie knew the recipe, and basically she ended up breaking a glass, and I think she went for Hayley's throat. They had to pull her out. So yeah, it was traumatic for everyone that witnessed it. And but it wasn't just that. I just, again, this is one of the things that I had a problem with. Everyone says that, why do you dislike Lizzie? I don't dislike her. I just don't like the way that she behaved and a few things that she did. So that girls' night, there was a few people that had come back, like Poppy, and she was already quite distraught coming back. And Lizzie had given her a really hard time. Poppy left crying, like within 3 minutes, because of Lizzie questioning her. And then Vanessa comes in, who's also traumatized, and Lizzie's like going for her, and I'm just like, you better stop, girl, because this is not cool. You cannot do that. You don't know these people. And and then she starts on Hayley, and then eventually they pull me out because I kept putting out fires. Like, I was trying to put out the fire between Hayley and Stacey as well. But I think that other people had under their agendas, and the big statement would have been like, yeah, Lizzie going all out.
Why do you think it wasn't shown? Do you think it was just too out there to show, or do you think that the producers were favouring some of the maths, you know, favouring Lizzie perhaps?
Well, we all watched it. So with the reunion, when we sat down with the experts, we all got to watch it.
Oh, wow.
Our reaction was like it was distressing. So I know from that night, like Connie and Casey, they were very traumatized because of the violence, and Hayley was not violent at all. Like, you know, she was like, you know, she didn't know what was coming for her, and they were quite traumatized, and they're both lovely girls, and I think that the other girls like Vanessa and Poppy, like, they didn't expect to be attacked, like, you know, by someone that they've never met before. And yeah, it didn't look good, because it wasn't good. It wasn't actually good, like, you know. But then they still ended up showing Stacey throwing the bread, so which I don't understand why they showed Stacey throwing something, but they didn't show Lizzie's all of her actions. But, yeah.
It seems like it didn't fit with the storyline that they were producing, because I feel like, I mean, this is just my opinion from watching the show, but it seemed like they brought Lizzie in to kind of do a little bit maybe of their work, stir things up a bit, but maybe they were pushing her too hard and she kind of completely overreacted, but they might look bad on them.
They wanted a love story with Lizzie. I think that's what they wanted.
Yeah, and they also wanted her to be like complete and utter girl code, and that from that night, I think that they tried to make her out as she was the one sticking up for Stacey and everything like that. And it wasn't like that. It just like, yeah, it was totally the opposite. And that's, you know, when you don't, and like not upholding girl code, you know, that's bad. But when you're actually physically attacking someone, no, that's wrong. And there is nothing acceptable in that, and I think she knew that that was coming up, and she did a public apology because it was going to come out, and then they didn't end up showing it.
Wow.
But we all saw it sitting on the couch, and we were just mortified. The boys were just like, "Yous are animals, like you are actual animals."
Wow.
It was feral, and like, yeah, you must be brought up in a particular mindset to feel that you have to attack another person. And God, you're taking on Hayley. She's like 80 kilos of muscle or whatever, like, you know, and she's pretty tall. Like, you're not going to take her on. Like, you know, I don't know. Anyway. And yeah. And it wouldn't have fit Lizzie's nice girl agenda and like her love story and yeah, stuff like that.
Being a mum, because you've got, is it 18 and 20-year-old, was it hard to sit there? Because obviously, you've got kids, you're a teacher, and these people are maybe, they're a bit older but similar ages. It would have been really hard to just be like, just cut the crap, you know? And I think that's what we liked about you, that you did, in your way, call people out, but it was in such a lovable way that it was kind of like, you know, your mum telling you to stop being so ridiculous.
And I think that's what people probably found, like, you know, what everyone was like, would listen, like I kind of say, you know what, that's not cool or whatever. And I think that once Stacey yelled back at me, and everyone's like, oh, Stacey yelled at her. It's like, and it was really quite funny actually, but it was like, and everyone was like, oh my God, she yelled at Michelle. It's like yelling at your mum. You can't do it. It was always funny. But yeah, I think that there was a lot of bullshit that you just didn't want to tolerate. And you're just like, for fuck's sake, oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to
say,
stop this. And just like, you know, act like a freaking human, like the toothbrush thing. Like, seriously, gosh, do what you would do on the outside. But it's a different mentality. You're in like this situation, you don't know what you're going to do. So just try to be the person you are. But yeah, like I think sometimes because I've been a mum for so long and a teacher, it just like it still overtake.
Yeah, and it seems like that sort of toilet, you know, putting someone's toothbrush in the toilet, that seems so juvenile and like a prank you'd pull at school, not on national TV in front of everyone. It was disgusting.
I don't think he did it like for that reason. And in Dave's defense, like he had probably like he was suffering with his own bits as well. So, you know, you don't know what you're going to do in a particular situation. And like when I can remember sitting there like 3 or 4 weeks in and thinking, I can't do this. And like, you know, and that you think, why did they cheat in the last seasons? Yeah, I know why they cheated, because they're bored. They're actually like just like, you know, you'd actually do anything just to make your life a little bit more interesting, or because you don't think about it being on TV and how it's going to look like on to everyone, because you kind of forget you're filming a show. You really do. And, you just kind of want to like, oh, I don't know. But Dave, yeah, he made a really bad mistake, but I think he's apologized and he feels really bad about it. And, but you just don't know what you're going to do in that sort of situation. No one does.
Talking about being bored, I don't know if this played into the boredom, but you mentioned on your Instagram that you and some of the other contestants had a relationship with the paparazzi, which I was so interested in because, you know, we obviously see lots of photos of you guys up on sort of Daily Mail and other online sites. Can you explain to us how does that relationship start and what is the relationship between you guys?
Oh, so the first day, they follow you and it's fear. and I don't know if you, like you don't, I don't know if it's called a relationship yet, but well, it is, everything's a relationship. So you basically start out and you can react in certain different ways to these people because they know who you are. I don't know how they know you, who you are, but they do. And Daily Mail was in the same street that we were actually living in.
Oh, really? Wow.
How
convenient.
Yeah, that was really convenient. And so the guy from Daily Mail, he had to go past our building to get lunch. So he'd have his camera with him and just take photos. Anyway, so like the first your producers say, don't trust him, and we'd hide and do stuff. And but then eventually, like, you might say hello. And then you see them, they followed you to like out on your day off, and you're like, you might have a conversation, you might meet their friends, and then basically, yeah, like some people never become friendly with them and some people do.
Well, so I feel like it pays to be friends with them because the three of us used to work in TV media, and you're always friends with the camera guy because they're going to shoot you and either they're going to make you look good or look bad. So it's always good to have them as a friend. You don't want those like double chin angles, yeah, you know,
flattering, yeah, shots.
Well, I don't know. I really didn't think about it. And then like after a while, like you see them every day, like they're there every day. And you kind of just ask them, how are they? And, like, you start this relationship and then, yeah, I don't know. It is, like, and then when you have the opportunity to talk about stuff that's really bothering you because, you know, you want to, like, I went through phases where I wanted to get out of the experiment and all I want to do is get out. And there's no one you can talk to. You can't talk to the psych because then she's telling the producers, and you can't talk to anyone. And, you know, you might say to, like, you don't really trust your partner to tell them, and you talk to a journalist and then, like, yeah, there's a story.
Wow. So yeah, the psych is not like they actually have a relationship with the producers. It's not someone independent. That's really disturbing. Wow.
Yeah, they have the math psych that's there, so for all the dinner parties for us, but any information that you do share, that can be shared with the producers as well.
Yeah, so, exactly like Unreal, where they're
really
just feeding.
Bad.
Yeah.
That's not good.
So, yeah, I went to their doctor and even that was shared. GP. So, and it's just like, I don't know if that, yeah, because I really wanted to go see a different doctor, but that's what happened. And you don't realise until a little while. And I didn't even realize the babysitter was a producer and like taking notes from all the things we were telling him.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, so like I'm probably naive to this stuff. Anyway,
no, but if you've never been on, who in their life, you know, if I went on a reality show, I might be a bit more cluey having worked in TV before. But if you're I can imagine my mum going on and she'd have no idea. There's so many people that just haven't dealt with TV producers before. How are you to know what's going on?
I know. And the thing is, like, you just think, well, wow, like, you know, I'm talking to them. And then like, you know, I was missing my family so much and I kept talking about that. And then all of a sudden I was allowed a weekend to go home. And I'm just like, oh. And then I said, oh, why am I allowed to go home? They said, oh, Teresa said you were struggling. Okay. All right, we can use this to our advantage now. So that was maybe something that you'd kind of people worked out.
Yeah. There's talking about the media, there's been a lot of articles recently popping up and they all seem to revolve around rumours about work you've had done and your appearance. And as women, that kind of does tend to annoy us that it's just focusing on your appearance. But I did love your honesty, how you came out and said you'd had a few, was it some fillers and things like that, because you wanted to do it for yourself.
Yeah, some Botox.
Yeah.
So... yeah, no, and I said, if I have more, like, I'll take you on the journey. Like, you can see the whole process. but, yeah, because I think that with my posts, like, I don't know, like, someone either doesn't really like me or they, I don't know, because, yeah, I took that photo with the filter and I was lying down and apparently I look like an alien.
Oh, I saw that. That was ridiculous. It was clearly you were just lying on your back. That was just...
Yeah, and like it's blanked out all my things, so out all my features. But anyway, I thought people use Instagram filters and
who doesn't
Snapchat
use
filters.
That? Like, who doesn't do that to their photos?
Well, I'm really conscious of it now. Believe me.
I love that you said that they, because you, I think it was a Daily Mail article you shared, and they had some expert say that you'd altered this and you'd altered that, but I loved your honesty that the reason you'd altered it was because you had, was it bits of white on your black hat, like bits of fluff?
It's like I don't know. I've made a huge mistake because I have, like, you know, now, like, washing my hat with white towels, and you're not allowed to do that. Like, that's something your mum teaches you the first, I don't know, she teaches you pretty much straight up. Don't wash anything in the white towels. Anyway, but then I did, and I wore that hat, and then I just coloured it in. And the colouring in is even really bad. So I don't know if you've seen it. And then I get another, like, I don't know why, I don't know what, the go is, but then I get another story to say, oh, there's a rare photo of her unfiltered selfie with no makeup. I'm just like, gosh, I wear no makeup every day. It was on TV that I did, so I don't know. But I have had Botox, and I probably will get lots more because I think it's great. And
I can't believe you're turning 50 this year, because you look bloody amazing. Before, after, whenever, like, you know, before the Botox, after the Botox, you are looking so good. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I remember when you were on the show, like the first episode, I was like, I'm not just saying this, you looked stunning. Like, you absolutely, I think it's just also the confidence that you had. I think what people are forgetting is, as Amy said, people are surprised that you actually are turning 50. And you know, if some people want to use some people want to use fillers, other people don't. But I suppose it's not like it's a 20-year-old that's going out and getting fillers, if you know what I mean. Like, it's something that you should be allowed to do if you want to.
But, like, if my daughter wanted to get fillers, like, I'd let her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the thing with the permanent tattoos, like, we both got our eyebrows done because, like, she's got alopecia, and I don't have very much eyebrows either. So, we got that done for medical reasons, but then getting the rest done is just convenience. So, yeah, and it just works out quite, like, it's easy. I wake up and I go to work like that. I just comb my hair. Some days I comb my hair and other days I don't. So, yeah. But, and I think that even if you are 20 or whatever and you want just a little bit of enhancement, like, just do it if you want to. It doesn't mean you don't love yourself. I'm not changing my nose entirely, or I'm not changing, like, the shape of my eyes. I'm just doing something that makes me feel a tiny bit better.
Yeah.
Just like my hair. Like I've had blonde hair, I've had black hair, I've had purple hair, I've had every color hair. Like, how is that different to my face?
That's the thing. If there's something that bothers you, sometimes it's best just to go, okay, well, I really don't like this. And if this makes me feel a little bit better,
I think it's important if the motivation's coming from you. It would be different if it was you were doing something to impress someone else. But I think if it's you, you know, you're helping yourself and that's something that you really want to do, then why not? Like, who are we to tell you what to do with yourself?
Yeah, and that's what I think. I think everyone has their own free will and they can do whatever they want. But I know my friend is sick of defending me, like, why is she wearing makeup at the beach? Why is she wearing – it's just like, that's why I put the picture. I wake up like that. I look like I've got makeup on. So, and if it wasn't COVID, I'd have my lashes done. So, yeah. So then I kind of – yeah, anyway. But it's – and I'm not saying that I look gorgeous when I wake up. Like, I feel gorgeous because that's the best version of me right now. But I'm just showing you exactly what I look like.
Well, we touched on that you're turning 50 later this year, which, as we said, we're surprised about. And while you're already, in our eyes, very fit and fabulous, we understand that you have some big fitness goals that you're wanting to achieve by your birthday.
Yes. So I've actually gained quite a bit of weight when I was on maths. So I gained something like 13 kilos during maths.
You couldn't tell. Yeah. I didn't, because I did see the photo that you put on your Instagram as a comparison. But when you're watching, like, you definitely don't pick up on that.
Oh, really? I think I can see it when I've the hen's night and then like the final vows. Like, I think I've got like an additional neck. anyway, so
that's probably just you, you know, when you notice yourself.
But so many people do say they've put on weight being on reality shows. Like on The Bachelor, I know Sam Frost put on, I think she put on about 10 kilos. Is it, what do you think it is? Are you eating to comfort yourself because you're away from family, or what do you think it is?
Yeah, so you're eating to comfort. You're also eating like at odd times, and you're eating whenever you can or when they give you food, and you'll eat whatever they give you. And you're not in your routine. And I know everyone says, oh, you had a gym and stuff like that, but we can't use the gym if somebody else is using it. And so, like, yeah, there's not enough time for everyone to go to the gym separately. So we didn't get our normal routines where we exercise in the morning and do like those everyday things that you would normally do. And yeah, I was quite depressed. I can tell you, like, quite honestly, I got to a really, really low place and I started eating Haig's chocolate. Like, I was addicted to Haig's chocolate.
Their freckles are so good.
Oh, like, their macadamia crunch bar. I can't even order it online. Like, I can't even order it to get here because they won't ship it online. Mm. So it's just like, we don't have stores in Queensland. It's good because I'm on this diet. So, yeah.
Yeah, because Haig's is from where we are, from South Australia.
Oh. I was going to say, we'll have to send you some, but maybe if it's not going to help you.
Oh, well, you can send me some. Like, I'd really love it. It's like a treat. But, because I fell in love with those bars. I think I'd spend about $30 a day almost. No, I'm joking, but you do. And the thing is, your eating is so sporadic, like, and you're eating like a pie at 12 or 1 o'clock at night, and you don't normally do that.
I could imagine getting like Macca's on the way home from the dinner party, you know, those dinner parties that drag on and you're hungry by the time you leave because it seems so long ago. I feel like that would probably be an occurrence on maths.
And if somebody got Macca's and you didn't, and then you just like try to steal a chip or a chicken nugget or whatever, and I hate chicken nuggets, but you know what, I started eating them. So
you can't just have one Macca's chip. Like, you just can't stop at one.
But it's just like that. And, I think even Hayley said she put on quite a bit of weight. I think that a few of us did.
Well, we were talking before briefly about how the fact that you have three sisters, and we were kind of bonding about the fact that, you know, I think anyone who has sisters knows what it's like. Because my boyfriend he's always like, why are you guys always arguing and stuff? I'm like, that's just normal.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're not arguing, we're having a discussion.
That's right. So you were saying you've got a younger sister, that, and then is it, are you in the middle, or what's it like?
So there's the three of us, there's one a year older than me and one that's a year younger than me. So I am the middle of the first three. And then we've got a little sister that's 14 or 15 years younger.
Oh, wow.
And she has all the answers. So she knows everything. You just ask her, Melissa knows everything. So, yeah, and she'd always admit it. So
you always have one.
We have spelling tests. Like, who does, like, really? at a family dinner, like, we'll sit there and say, okay, we're doing spelling tests now because, like, we want to be the best.
We have to do that. So, is it kind of like spelling bee when you can ask for the origin of the word or are you just given the words?
No, it's just because Melissa thinks she's a really good speller and so do I.
Oh. So she is a good speller?
And then I've got my older sister who's very caring and just, and then the younger sister, Sancha, and then Betty, she's basically, she just would give you her heart if she could. Yeah. Aww. She'd do anything for you. So, yeah.
And what did they all think about you going on the show? Because it kind of seemed like when you went home and that was sort of when you had that moment where you're like, hang on, I think Steve's gaslighting me. Were they helpful in you making your decision?
Yeah, so like my mum and my mum's reaction, like, you know, when I told everyone, my mum had no idea and she thought it was quite genuine. She'd never watched the show, neither had my sisters.
Oh.
So they were, that was a real genuine reaction and they're just like, yeah, so excited, we're getting married. And I think the type of people we're like is, because, like, my mum always told us to be nice. Be nice. Always be nice. If you're not nice, then don't be nice. Don't do anything at all. Anyway, and it was, like, I think it was more my my friends telling me that I wasn't acting the same. But, yeah, and then my sister and my daughter is – my daughter's very pragmatic. She's, like, so – like, yeah, this doesn't seem right. No. That's wrong. So, yeah, she's black and white and just like, yeah, tells you and she's quite smart.
That would be helpful.
She's really good and Betty's kind of no-nonsense as well. And, yeah, they just said, yeah, it doesn't sound right. If it, like, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, then it must be a duck. I don't know. Aww. So, and that was really, like, you could see, like, I can't act like that. It was so genuine, my reaction. It was like you see the light bulb just go off in my head at that moment. It's like, I don't know. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's what we love so much about you, how genuine you are. And I suppose I know you've got to get back to your police recruit. So we'll probably wrap it up now. But thank you so much for joining us. We love chatting. I feel like we could chat all day.
Yeah, we could.
Oh, I could talk to you all day. Thank you so much, girls. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Outspoken. We just wanted to remind you that Outspoken listeners can receive 10% off at checkout on JS Health when purchasing JS Health vitamins. Now, if you want to see how amazing they are, you'll have to go to our Instagram page, which is at @outspoken_the_podcast, because we've put up some photos of Sophie's hair and she has been using the vitamins since November and absolutely loves them. So you have to see what it's done for her hair. So just reminding you, the code is Outspoken and you can get 10% off. Also, if you did enjoy today's episode with Michelle, we'd love if you could share it on your Instagram story and of course tag us so we can reshare it. Thanks again.